This is part two. Vision Sunday, part two. So I guess that means Vision Sundays, part two. How y'all doing today? Y'all awake? Are you glad to be here? Have you had your coffee yet? I love these kind of Sundays. I think we probably need to do them more often. Last week we looked at a real big picture, Revelation 7:9, the end goal, if you will, that God is marching history toward. We have people, a multitude so great, so innumerable, you can't count how many people. From all ages, all peoples, all nations, all languages, worshiping Jesus in complete holiness because of His blood forever. I used to think heaven sounded boring until I knew Jesus. Changed everything. He will never run out of things to praise Him for. And we talked about how we as a church are seeking to accomplish that, to be a part of God accomplishing that Revelation 7:9 vision. And it was exciting for me to think back some of the ways that God has already used us as a body. Used us as a year and a half old infant church to accomplish His purposes through us. It's amazing what God's done. We looked at Matthew 28, which is a great missions verse and a great definition of who we are and what we should be about. And we talked about our mission statement as a church. What is our mission statement, by the way? Who are we? You ready? We are to live in the gospel life to glorify God and make disciples. So this is how we seek to do that. We seek to train, equip, and release every single member to be a worshiper, a family member, a steward, a servant, and a disciple maker. You got these little handy dandy little vision cards that probably Rachel made, but did you make them? Combo. It's the Daniel-Rachel combo. We got these out there on the table, and it's very helpful. Mission statement, core values, every member is a worshiper, family member, steward, servant, and disciple maker. That's actually also part of the membership covenant. When you join Gospel Life Church, one of the things is saying, I will, as a born-again, baptized believer, uniting with Gospel Life Church, I will be a worshiper. It's all about Jesus. I'll be a family member. Church is not a country club. We are family together. I will be a steward of the resources that God has entrusted me for the vision of this church. I will be a servant. I will serve within the church and within the community, and I will be a disciple maker. That is part of who we are. And that's why we have those things even in our membership covenant. You may have left saying, okay, all that sounds good, but seriously, Trey, how do we how could God really use this little bitty old body to fulfill Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And I'm so glad you asked. Y'all buckle up. It ain't going to be quite David Platt style. They said David Platt gave 50 characteristics of the Holy Spirit in 15 minutes. Brad said he quit taking notes and just started recording it. But it'll be quick. Matthew 28, we talked about it last week. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. You remember, you know this. I want you to picture the resurrected Christ. I want you to picture this ragtag group of disciples who had just scattered out of fear, and now they're seeing the one who was slain alive in their presence. The one who just conquered the grave. The one who just secured their salvation. The one who promised them His Holy Spirit. He told them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Y'all believe that? And then he said, based on that authority, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to teach them to, depends on your translation, observe or to obey all that I have commanded you. And, well, I memorized it low, but he says, I am with you always. Now, how long is always? To the end of the age. Now, check this out. That's such a great tool for a heart check. Y'all ready for a heart check? I need this regularly. That passage, I'm not even there yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew 28. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Do y'all believe that He has all authority? Now, here's your heart check. Does He have all of you? Have you surrendered every area of your life to His authority? Or you could ask, I love having a podium on wheels. Is there anything you're holding back that you refuse to submit to His authority? Let's do this. For a couple seconds, bow your heads and ask Him, Father, is there anything that you want me to surrender to you right now? Search my heart, God. And maybe as He puts things on your heart, you have to say, God, I can't surrender this in my own power. Would you please help me to surrender everything to you gladly? Help me to trust you. All authority. Father, right now, whatever it may be, we know nothing is impossible for you. Would you help us, Holy Spirit, empower us to surrender every area of our lives to you? You are good and faithful and true. You are worthy. You have loved us with an everlasting, never-ending love. You are so patient and long-suffering toward us. Help us to trust you and to gladly submit to your authority. God, for those in this room that are just tired or weak or struggling in their own power, maybe even ashamed, God, Would you lift their heads today? God, would you give them victory? And in this moment, help them to submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All authority means we hold nothing back. So the next question is, looking at Matthew 28, he says, all authority. And then he says, go therefore and make disciples. Now, I guess the first question is, are you his disciple? And are you willing to be a disciple maker? Now, that doesn't mean they got it. We're good. It doesn't mean that you feel 100% equipped or worthy or able, but I'm here to ask you right now, are you his disciple? Do you know him? Do you follow him? Is he changing your life? Are you committed to his mission? Are you his disciple? Disciples know and follow Jesus, right? Disciples are being changed by him, and disciples are committed to his mission. And are you willing to be a disciple maker? Are you seeking to bring people into his kingdom and helping them to walk with Jesus? Isn't this fun? So much of the Christianity, y'all, is so simple, yet so hard. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, have you been baptized? Do y'all know the Greek word for baptism means to immerse? You know that? It was used for dyeing cloth. You take some alpaca wool that's white. I guess it's white. We're going to use white because it's easier to dye. And then you get a tub of dye that's a certain color, and you submerge that yarn or that cloth into the dye. And then when you pull it out, what happens? It looks different, doesn't it? Immersed. It's a picture. Baptism doesn't save us. It's a picture, an outward profession of faith of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a picture that we have died to ourselves. The old man has been buried, and we've been raised again as new creations in Christ. It's also a picture. One day, if Jesus tarries, and I pray he doesn't. Y'all, nothing would make me more happy if he came back right this very second. Whew. What if he just came back right now? He's coming. If he tarries, you and I, our bodies are going to one day perish and die. And they're going to put our body in the ground. But guess what? If you're in Christ, that's not you in the dirt. Paul said to be absent from the flesh is to be in the presence of the Lord. And one day, Jesus is coming back. And those who have already fallen asleep, they didn't die, because it's not permanent. They fell asleep. Their souls will be reunited with their resurrected bodies. The body's coming out of the dirt, or the ashes are being put back together. I mean, it's going to be a sight. There's going to be people that were buried at sea that their bodies are going to be brought back and glorified and raised up and reunited. And we will be with Jesus forever. Baptism is a picture of those truths, and it's a reminder of the power of God to do those things. So when we lead people to Christ, an immediate step of obedience and an identification with the gospel that we profess to believe, we baptize them. We celebrate baptism, we use a horse trough here. We've used bathtubs. We've used totes. We've used swimming pools and ponds. Are you willing to baptize those that you lead to Christ? I'll work with you. Maybe you don't feel comfortable. I want you to hear from me, from your elders. We believe that it's part of the Great Commission, and we do not hold any authority to keep you from obeying that. We release, according to what Jesus has already said and commanded, every single one of you have the authority to baptize those you lead to Christ. I love that. I love it. Nothing gets me more excited than to see you baptize those you've led to Christ. But are you willing? Are you willing to be a disciple, make disciples? Be baptized, baptize those you lead to Christ. Or at least, at the very least, teach them to follow Jesus in baptism. And then what does he say next? All authority, make disciples, baptize. Make disciples of all nations, by the way. You know what that means? That means you're willing to follow him anywhere he leads you. And that means you're willing to tell all people, not just those that look like you, talk like you, believe like you, or smell like you. All people. Y'all look at me. There's no room. No room. No room whatsoever for racism or bigotry or looking down on others in the heart of the child of God. If we have been born again, we are new creations. If we've been called to the nations, all people, Jerusalem and Judea, Jesus went to the places that no other Jew wanted to go to take his gospel message. We cannot hold back for any reason. Are you willing to talk to anybody and go anywhere that God calls you? Just asking for your yes to be on the table, that's all. This isn't a bait and switch. By the way, if you really are willing, then you need to get a passport. Casey says go. Okay? Anybody, anywhere. And the last one is the best one. Because if you're rational, you're thinking, I'm scared to go. You're thinking, I don't know if I want to send my kids. You're thinking, how am I going to afford that? You're thinking, what if I get there and they don't even want to hear it? You're thinking, well, I don't have the power to change hearts. I'm not able to persuade people to believe these things. And guess what? I concur. Jesus said in verse 20, Behold, I am with you always. This is his plan. This is his mission. This is his vision. It's his power that accomplishes it. As Gracie and Elizabeth said, God doesn't need us for anything. But when we're submitted to him, ooh, he can do some awesome things through you. Have you ever been prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel? Have you ever been clearly prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel and chickened out? How many times a week, right? Have you ever been prompted by the Holy Spirit, chickened out, and still said, okay, God, you got to do it through me? And you just took that first step and you saw God just take over. You ever had that happen? What a great reminder that it's not our power. We can't persuade. If I can talk you into it, somebody can probably talk you out of it. But when the Holy Spirit draws them through the gospel coming from your lips, it's a beautiful thing to behold. So, we call that the Great Commission landing. There's no way we're going to finish today. But how are we going to train our body to accomplish this Revelation 7:9 and this Matthew 28 vision? Well, I'm glad you asked that too. Hope my thing didn't ring. Does this look familiar to anybody? Y'all seen this anywhere? If you were part of our core team, We talked a lot about this. This is an illustration to help us describe the core missionary task. We've had several missionaries come and walk us through the book of Acts, and we've studied these things together. The core missionary task, if you think about Paul's ministry, how he would enter into empty places, how he would preach the gospel, make disciples, gather people into the church, raise up leaders, and move on. Well, in Mark chapter 4, there's a parable. I'm going to read this parable to you, and then we're going to look at this chart together. See if you can see, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 29. And I want to see if as I read, any of these pictures make sense to you, okay? Mark 4, 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now, there's a farmer. The farmer wants to grow a crop. He's not growing the crop because he likes to see the pretty plants. He has a goal in mind. What's his goal? Starts with an H. His goal is the harvest, right? Now, first we're going to talk about this picture on how it represents agriculture. Then we're going to talk about how that pictures spiritual things, okay? So, who knows what this field is? The empty field, right? This field is empty. There's nothing there. You got to get the field empty, clear it out, ready to go, ready to do what? This represents the seeded field, right? He goes out and he scatters the seed. As he scatters the seed, he sleeps and he rises. He sleeps and he rises. And sooner or later, a little bitty bud pokes up, and then a little blade, and then a stalk, and then a ear, and then the grain. This is the what? The growing field, right? It's beginning to grow. It needs to be nurtured as it grows. But his goal is the harvest. After it has, harvest time comes, he gets out his sickle, and he starts to cut it, and he starts to gather it. This is the harvest field. See that? Empty, seeded, growing, harvest. You got it? This is, I hope, going to be like light bulb moment for you. What's the empty field picture when it comes to church planting or to kingdom growth? Yeah, people, where the gospel is not. This could be communities. It could be individuals. This is the empty field. Pictures those who need the gospel. Okay? The seeded field. What do you think scattering this seed pictures? Yeah, evangelism, right? So you got The empty field is those who need the gospel. The seeded field is us sharing the gospel, evangelism. Then you got the growing field. What do you think that pictures? Discipling. Good job. As new people come into faith, they need to be taught how to grow in Christ, right? To be rooted and grounded in His Word. To grow to like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And then, after it all has matured, you get the sickle out. And the harvest field, you gather it all together. What do you think that pictures? Church formation, right? Or gathering believers together. And then you got this one little picture here. I forgot to explain it. The farmer doesn't sell all the seed, especially before you had co-ops. He didn't eat it all. He saved some for next year. Why? He wants to complete that, continue that cycle, right? So you save some of that. This picture's developing new leaders and thrusting them out as laborers into the harvest so that this continues, this process continues. Does that make sense? Now, watch this. What do you do to the empty field? Enter. You enter into the empty field. That's entry. Entry, evangelism, discipleship, church formation, leadership development. Got it? Entry, evangelism, discipleship, church formation, leadership development. This is a way for us to explain and remember the core missionary task, entry, evangelism. Think about the life of Paul in the book of Acts. Entry, evangelism, discipleship, church formation, leadership development. You got it? Now, where are we at? Think about the things that we do as a church already. There's no way we're going to finish. We'll have a part three one day. What are some tools that we use around here for entry? What are some things we do for entry? What can you think of? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, cards to the teachers. That was a form of entry, right? And then somebody said outreach. On the last Saturday of each month, we've been going out. We've been doing evangelism training how to share the gospel. We've been training how to make disciples. And then we've been going out and practicing it. That's part of it. Just going out two by two or three by three or whatever we go by. What else? Slim, what's another tool we have for entry? For those that we know. Yeah? What about? Yeah. Praying, making a list. Might even be more than five, right? Could be 20. Nobody's going to cap you at five. But making a list of at least five people you know, you're close to, but they're far from God, and praying for them every single day to come to Jesus. Y'all, if you don't get anything else today, get that. When I came to Christ, Dusty had been praying for me by name for a month. He'd only been a believer for about a month. And that whole month, I didn't know it. Dusty didn't know it. God was drawing me to himself. Pray for those in your life that need Jesus. Children in your home, parents, grandparents, neighbors, barbers, butchers, baristas. I did some alliteration for you, Gordon. You're welcome. Think about it. Who in your life needs Jesus? Make a list. Pray for them every day. So tools for entry. Outreach. Going out and sharing the gospel to people we don't know. Praying for those every day that we do know. And seeking opportunities to share, which leads us to evangelism. What are some tools we have here as a church to teach how to share the gospel? Yeah, my story and? Yeah, God's story. My story is 20-second testimony. And then the way we've been training to teach, share God's story lately is the four bracelet with the four emojis. Who here has been trained how to share your 20-second testimony? Who here has been trained how to share the four? Who here has been trained to do the Romans Road with a bridge? All right. The last Saturday of each month, we get together and we practice this. It's not as scary as you think. We sit in here, we explain how to do it, then we practice together. It's a fun time. We get to hear about each other's story. I want to encourage you, if you've not, even if you have, come and help. By the way, y'all see my message on GroupMe? Next Saturday, we're going to be going down to a church in Tupelo, and we're going to be training them how to do these things. If you're interested in coming, please come and see me, and we'll go down there together. Have a great time teaching them how to share their 20-second testimony, how to share the gospel. We're going to go out with them and model. It's going to be great. Y'all, it's not, none of this is rocket science. It's obedience. through his power. All right, growing field. Can you think of any tools that we use to disciple? What do we do here for discipleship? Small groups. And in our small groups, we break it up into three different parts. What are they? Looking back, looking up, looking ahead. And when we look up, what is a tool that we use to teach people how to study the Bible? The sword method. If I'm holding a sword, it points up. It reminds me to ask, what do we learn about God? Man's holding it. What do we learn about? On one side, is there any sin to avoid or any examples or commands to follow? There's a lot of inductive Bible study tools out there. This is super basic, but it's a great place to start. And then we teach people the seven commands of Christ. Repent and believe, be baptized, pray, go make disciples, love God and others, give from the heart, the Lord's Supper. We teach people what it means to follow Him and how to be the church. Here's the beauty. Each tool, each field, obedience to this field leads to this field. Obedience to this field leads to this field. As we go through the seven commands, it leads to church formation or to small group formation or to gathering more people together to be the body. When we practice and teach the seven commands, guess what? At the end of that, you're doing what church does. You're getting together and you're worshiping. You're confessing sin to each other. You're praying for each other. You're baptizing those. You're sharing the gospel and baptizing. You're studying the Bible. You're teaching people how to study the Bible. You're seeking to go and reach more and bring them in. You're being church together. And we're going to have to probably cap it at that. I want to go real fast and just show you in 2025 some things that I think will help, okay? The number one thing for living the gospel life is total surrender to and total dependence on God. Places in Scripture call that abiding or being Spirit-filled or keeping in step with the Spirit or taking off the old and putting on the new, to be living sacrifices. Here's what it means. We must, every one of us, each individually must daily surrender to, seek, rest in, and live for Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit in us. We can't do it without Him. Total dependence. I'm going to encourage you every day, study the Bible on your own. We've talked about the SOAP journaling strategy. We're asking everybody to read through the Bible in a year together this year. It's not too late to get started. By the way, don't make this legalistic. If you miss a day, you can catch up later. Keep going. This is about us trying in 1 year to get a good big picture understanding of Scripture and the God of the Bible. This isn't about legalism. I know it's hard for you box checkers, but if you miss a day, skip it and catch up later. Just keep going. Get that flow. Daily, individually, memorizing, meditating on God's Word, praying God's Word, seeking God in His Word, and then also together in small groups. Our small groups continue to review these things weekly, right? To review a lot of these things weekly, to practice the three-thirds and the sword method together, to practice obeying Christ together weekly. We're seeking to plant new groups as members are equipped to be disciple makers. Every single one of you in a small group is inadvertently learning how to be a disciple maker. So, here's a goal. Let's prayerfully seek to plant 5 new small groups in 2025. I think that's a God-sized goal. He's got to do it, but I think we can do it. So, let's us prayerfully seek to go from 7 to 12 small groups in 2025. The last Saturday of each month, we're going to do a new thing for 2025. Keeping it on the last Saturday, that's been our rhythm. Every other month, we're going to do outreach and evangelism training. And every other month, we're going to do more discipleship training with more of a family focus. And so, basically, outreach. Just if you mark the last Saturday of each month on your calendar, y'all, we're not a busy church. We're not a busy church. We don't have a busy calendar. We're not trying to keep people in the building, but we want to equip you to be the church outside of a building. And if you mark the last Saturday of each month and come one Saturday a month, you're going to be equipped so much more to be a disciple and to be a disciple maker, to be a husband and a father, to be a wife and a mother. We're going to be growing together. It's going to be good. It's going to be more like workshop, less lecture, more practice together. So every other month, it's going to be a little fresh. We'll do some of the old, and we're going to add some new. And then we got 2025 mission trips. In the spring, if any y'all see me today, if you're interested in India in the spring, my tentative dates for that is going to be early April, April like 4th through 13th, before Easter. If you are interested, please see me, and it'll change your life. It's a way to get to the front lines. It'll change your life. And also planning to go to India during fall break. I don't have the exact dates. Any DeSoto County employees know any exact dates yet? Fall break. And then we've got Daniel leading a trip to North Dakota. The dates for that is going to be June 19th through 24th. We'll both be having an informational meeting soon. If our April India trip doesn't meet, we might have to punt to either the summer or just do one in the fall. We want to give you venues, avenues to get to the lost. So fast forward, big picture, it's all about God and His glory. So let's be a church fully dedicated to Christ, fully surrendered to Him, and fully reliant on His power to accomplish His purposes in and through us. Let's seek to be that kind of body together. Individually and collectively. John read Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. In light of what we talked about already, I want you guys to listen to this passage. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's His power working in us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us be a church all about Jesus and all about His vision.